only one in many now. The Fed Reserve has got to go. Meeting ends is getting tough. Shout it out, we've had enough. Let's put it out of our misery. The Fed Reserve must cease to be. We must end the Fed Reserve. Wake up, people, live and learn. There's no store of value in a fern. All my gumbo rangers know we're freaking doomed, it's a horror show. Government promise ain't worth a damn. The Fed is an outrageous scam. We must stand the Fed Reserve.
Stand up, stand up. Harmony Divi Nations on this windy and cold Wednesday, November 26, 2008. My name is Elizabeth Peter. Hope you're all well and holding on tight to your high frequencies so we can all get through this wild ride. Friends, we are officially on day 6 of the Mayan calendar since the 13th of November. These early days can be likened to the first moments of dawn as we are waking up from a dream, maybe a bad dream, maybe a good dream, not really sure what direction to take. So please let us stay in our centers and hold on, focus on the now. Let's not lose it and not let go, no matter what. The chant you just heard is from End the Fed, a nationwide campaign to abolish the Federal Reserve Bank and the Federal Reserve Act, in hopes of creating a more stable U.S. financial system. A rally was held last Saturday, November 22nd, at Federal Reserve Banks in 39 cities across the U.S. I myself went to one in my city, and you can visit the End the Fed website for more info on how to join this cause. I believe this is probably the only cause we have at the moment. First off, the outline of the show. If you are new to Earth Harmony, my mission statement remains simple. Let us focus on sharing joy, oneness, abundance, gratitude, and self-awareness at all times. Let's be ethical and use intuition, not fear. And at the beginning of each show, we start with the abundance intent. Let's take a deep breath and focus on the third eye. Abundance intent. I focus on the holy high self within as the only source of my prosperity. I know this inner presence as the only activity in my financial, personal, other affairs. That is the only activity in these affairs as it is the substance of all things visible. I trust in the principle of abundance in action within and without. So it is. Today, as always, I would like to encourage you to call into the show. I invite your questions, concerns, comments. You can find out more about me on redlotus.org, my website, and my email address is elizabeth@redlotus.org. Dear friends, a quote from Lyndon LaRouche, monetarism is dead. Bury it before it buries us. And that is the theme of the show today again. We will be continuing our interview with the great behind-the-scenes economic expert, John Hoeffel, who has been senior banking columnist of the Executive Intelligence Review since 1989. Currently, he's featured on the weekly reviews with Jeff Steinberg on the LaRouche website, laRouchePAC.com, a very educational and result-oriented organization. Mr. Hoeffel has been on the inside of the monetary system for many, many years, and we can clearly see how he probably knows more than many what this monetary system is about and how incredibly it damaged our economy, how it created this havoc we're in right now. And Mr. Hoeffel is here to offer some viable solutions to rebuild from here. In fact, the LaRouche organization is about that right now. Hello, John. Thanks for coming back to talk with us today.
Oh, my pleasure, Elizabeth.
John, on November 21st, Lyndon LaRouche declared that leading bankers and government officials have gone from fear to panic. What do you think he means by that?
Well, we have a meltdown in the derivatives market. There's this quadrillion-dollar-plus market in financial speculation in derivatives that goes on off the balance sheets of the banking system, and it is collapsing. And this is what is driving all of the liquidations. You see all the sales in the stock market and sales in commodities and other things. That is, people are desperately running for the exits at the moment. And they've been trying to keep this process under control through bailouts and things like that, and through monetary measures, and that has not been working. And now, you have this continuing collapse of the banking system, as typified by the need to bail out Citibank. And so the psychology is shifting. It's been shifting over time. They thought they could handle it, and then they were worried that they weren't going to handle it, and now they realize that they're not handling it, and so they're just panicking. And you can see that also in the way in which the two actions by the Fed this week, the bailout of Citibank and then the announcement that they're going to be buying all sorts of other securities and things. They're just throwing money at a problem, and they're not having any luck with it.
I looked on Bloomberg the other day, and the indexes are shooting up like in a hospital room when you see a heart attack patient is being resuscitated by their physicians. You know, from almost zero, it kind of started, all the charts started shooting up into the sky. I mean, it's just an amazing situation. And what do you think is going to come out of this?
Well, the only thing, the stock market goes down, 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 and then the Fed will jump in and pump a bunch of money into it, and it will shoot up. And then it'll start going down, down, down again.
And they're pumping money into the banks and big companies, but they barely talk about the people who are basically holding up this whole system.
Well, they don't care about those people. They care about saving the big money, and that's really at this point all they care about, and everything else is lip service.
So we're really nearing the showdown right now.
Yeah, I think we're in it, mm-hmm. And you can see that the Bush administration is just throwing money at things and hoping that they can hold together until they get out of town. And they're prepared to let things get worse rather than deal with them, because they're happy to dump it on the incoming Obama administration.
Well, it affects everyone. It affects them, too. I mean, it affects the whole world.
Well, it's true. I mean, what they're doing is totally irresponsible and clinically insane.
So our currency, if the law was enforced, is actually a credit currency. It's a currency of the U.S. government, a currency of the U.S. people. And somewhere LaRouche said other countries have monetary systems. Here in the U.S., we actually have a credit system, if it was properly implemented, right?
Right, yes. Constitutionally, we have a credit system where only Congress is designated the body which authorizes expenditures of money, and then the executive manages those expenditures. Congress creates the money. And it does so by issue, which it should do so in the constitutional system, through the issuance of credit. And instead, what we have is a situation which you can see very clearly in action just this week, where the Federal Reserve, which is not really an agency of the government, even though it acts on behalf of the government, is creating money on its own by creating reserves out of thin air that they pump into the banking system, and then they treat that as money in order to fund a lot of this bailout operation. So Our system says Congress can do that, only Congress can do that. And in practice right now, we have the Federal Reserve basically deciding to and printing and creating money on its own.
But do you have any faith in our Congress, in our current setup, the way it is, with Congress being so ineffective?
No, not right
and
now.
And do you hope that the Obama presidency will bring better people into play?
I certainly hope that. I think the real problem is that we have to look not just at our government, but we have to look at ourselves. You know, when we founded this country, Benjamin Franklin was asked if what kind of government we gave us, and he said, a republic, if you can keep it. And in order to keep it, what you have to have is a citizenry which is educated in the principles of good government and in the principles of things like economics, and will elect representatives who are also capable of dealing with these things. And that, you know, the caliber of the people we elect to represent us determines what kind of a government we get. And our problem is that we have a Congress which is completely inept, which is under the direction of people like Nancy Pelosi, moving to protect these financial interests against the welfare of the population. And while she certainly deserves all of the criticism you might want to give her for this, that fundamentally we have to look at ourselves, because we're the people who put these people in office. And we keep re-electing these people even though they prove to be totally incompetent. So if we're going to expect Congress to do the right thing, then we're going to have to do the right thing too.
Yeah. So you and the group, the LaRouche group, is strongly urging Congress to let the system go bankrupt and replace it with a credit system. What would this system look like? Did you work out some details?
Yes, the way to approach this, instead of just throwing money at the system and throwing money into these bankrupt institutions, that you have to admit, you start off by admitting that in fact this system is bankrupt, that it's got trillions of dollars, of hundreds of trillions of dollars of bonds and stocks and all sorts of financial claims that can't be paid. And then over $250 billion in derivative claims that can't be paid. So you say, okay, well, we can't pay this. I mean, we have to find some rational way to deal with this. And that's what bankruptcy is. When you have a situation in which you have debts you can't pay, you go through bankruptcy. The bankruptcy process looks and sees what debts, what you have to protect and what you can afford to write off. And we have to write off, we freeze a bunch of this stuff and to write most of it off later or work it out later. And meanwhile, you protect the population while you're doing so. So we shut down this system. We put it through bankruptcy. We reorganize the banks so that we have highly regulated banks which do the sorts of things that we need to make the economy function, like make loans and accept deposits and that sort of thing. But no more derivative speculation, no more engaging in all these wild securities like mortgage-backed securities and CDOs and all these other things. And we start putting our money into rebuilding the productive side of our economy, and we have to build our way out.
So the only leading politician that you hear these kinds of ideas from was Ron Paul. Is there anyone else? You don't hear anything about these ideas about replacing this system with anything else from Obama or anybody else, right?
No, you don't. They're all, the problem with these presidential candidates is that they tend to be owned by the people with the big money. And the people with the big money want to keep that bailout coming.
So you don't have much faith in Obama really implementing this system that you're proposing?
Well, he's faced with a real problem, because he's going to come into office. And his situation is in many respects similar to the situation faced by Franklin Roosevelt, mm-hmm. in that he's coming into a situation where the nation is in serious trouble, and some sort of bold action is going to have to be taken. And so they're planning for what they consider to be bold action. They're talking about stimulus programs, and they're talking about infrastructure programs and things like that. And I guess the real question is, you know, there seems to be a fight almost inside the Obama camp between some of the people associated with Hillary and Robert Rubin and his crowd, and some of the people that are more associated with the University of Chicago, and the, you know, which is known for its, to put it not very politely, fascist economics. Mm. And so the question of which way they're going to go, I think, is not entirely clear and is still being fought out. Mm-hmm. But if they go with infrastructure, for example, are they going to go with the public-private partnerships where their infrastructure program is based upon, you know, selling off public assets, like selling the right to companies to take over roads and charge tolls on the people who use them? And if that's their approach, then it'll only make things worse. If they adopt an approach more along the lines of what we're talking about, then that will help.
Well, in my view, they will not let go of their power over the people. And, of course, the people are just waking up to realize that, hey, we can have a say in this. We can have our power back. And the question is, will the people wake up early enough to grab their own personal power and create these infrastructures, create these, develop a new system, maybe local systems. Maybe every state will have a different infrastructure system. Would you think that could be possibly developing?
Well, I think that it has to be done more on a national and even an international level in order to really be effective in terms of, because what we've laid out is a series of great projects. Like, you have one of the major problems facing a large section of the western United States today is the lack of water. And there are ways to deal with that through large-scale water projects. Like, there's a project called the North American Water and Power Alliance that was introduced many years ago by an engineering company, which would have brought water, snow water, snow melt down from the Canada into the United States as a water supply. And that project, had we gone through with that, could provide the cities and the farms in the West with a lot of the water that they need now. And so instead of having, basically political fights over water, we could have plenty of water. But that's an international, because that's an international project, because it requires the support of Canada and also requires the support of a lot of states. So a lot of these programs really have to be done on a national basis with international negotiations. And then there are other projects that can be done, within the borders of states. But it's that kind of approach, and to rebuild our economy using, higher physical principles, to go, for example, not just to build more roads, but to build magnetically levitated trains as a substitute for ground transportation, and is also a substitute for a lot of the commuter flying, so that we don't have all these short trips on airlines. So we really need to upgrade our entire economy, and we can do that.
In my opinion, the way it stands, the entire federal system is a complete mess. And I don't, just look at what happened in Katrina. It seems as if it cannot really pick itself up, even with a new presidency. And in my view, we may need to go back to smaller, local, statewide organizations, which is what this country was built on. It was built on the colonies, the separate states, and each colony had its own system and was very effective that way. You don't feel that could be more effective, at least in the transitional times?
Well, I think we need to You know, we started out as a bunch of independent colonies, but we turned into a nation. And I think we need to solve this problem as a nation, that we have, you know, that some things can be dealt with on a local level and some things can't. You know, for example, you can't have each state have its own currency. You can't have each state provide for its own defense. You can't have each state deal with all the water resource problems, you know, within that state, because you have, you know, rivers that run through many, many states and that sort of thing. And you have aquifers that cover many, many states. So a lot of these things really have to be dealt with on a more national level. I think that the issue is that people have to get involved, that we can still shape a lot of what the Obama administration does, but we have to take our responsibilities as citizens seriously. And that more than anything else is what is really required to turn this around, that the people have to make a change. We have to change ourselves if we're going to change Washington.
So what would be a temporary scenario that you could envision, or your group? How would you organize, let's say, local groups in cities or in townships? In my city, we are forming food groups where we create local community organizations where we keep in touch with each other and, you know, figure out if anybody needs anything, we can call each other, things like that. How would you envision this transitional time?
Well, I think that sort of thing that you just described is good in terms of people helping each other get through difficult times. And that's a good thing, and we people do need to help each other. The real issue, I think, that the way we look at it is that what you have to do is find a way to change the environment so that you prevent these things from becoming problems, that you have to change the overall policy of the nation, and that you have to return to the idea of the Constitution instead of what we've done, is which we've gone too much to the system, this monetarist system, where we believe that manipulation of money is the basis for economics, when in fact